Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of On the Money with a Certified Financial Group right here on News 96.5 WDBO's Ask the Experts Weekend. It is our first show of 2020, and we've got the Oracle of Orlando, Joe Burt, alongside Chris Toadvine, Certified Financial Planner Professionals at the Certified Financial Group, taking your phone calls at 844-220-0965. Happy New Year, gentlemen.
Happy New Year. We are here live this morning.
That's it.
Live.
First show of 2020.
Yes.
Hard to believe that. Yes.
Yep.
So what do we got to look forward to for this year, Joe?
Well, hopefully a continuation of what we enjoyed in 2019. Peace, prosperity, and good health.
There you go.
That's how about that combination?
I like that. Great year. Right?
How was everybody's holiday?
Oh, it was terrific.
Holiday was good.
Yep.
Yes.
But it's good to be back in the air chair, be back with you. I lost my voice a little bit here, if you haven't noticed, but other than that, we're doing great.
How did you lose your voice?
Airplane flu, you know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yes. No, yes, that is a very, very, very dangerous disease for us radio people who have to come on the radio and talk for a living, and when we get on the airplane and then get stuck in it for several hours and then we get off and we have no voice, it's not a good
thing. No, not good. Not good at all. But here we are doing our best, and hope our listeners will call in today and grace us with some questions. Chris and I are here to answer questions that might be on your mind regarding your personal finances. As a reminder, we are the only financial call-in show here in Central Florida that is hosted exclusively by Certified Financial Planner Professionals. We at Certified Financial Group do financial planning and investment management for our clients for a fee, and all that I've done is done by people that have the credentials to do it, Certified Financial Planners. And on Saturday morning, we come here to answer the questions that you might have regarding your personal finances, questions about your IRA, about mutual funds, about a 401k, about the new Secure Act as it relates to what it does to your IRA and the ability to stretch that out, about insurance and annuities and reverse mortgages, all the things that Chris and I and the 10 other certified financial planners at CFG do and answer questions for our clients for a fee on Monday through Friday. But on Saturday morning, we are here absolutely free. So if you have any questions about those topics, we encourage you to call, because here on the 4th of August, 4th of January.
Whoa.
January. Slow down, Joe.
The year's just flying by.
I mean, wow.
The 4th of January, we're here to answer your questions. And not only that, we are live this morning on Facebook. So if you want to dip in here, the studio, go to your Facebook page. Go to Financial Group or Certified Financial, their executive director, Danny Morehouse. Certified Financial Group. Yeah, plug in Certified Financial Group in the search bar there, and you can drop right in here, and you can also ask some questions online. So we encourage you to call, because we are here to take your questions. I can guarantee you that if you have anything that's on your mind regarding your personal finances, there's probably 25, at least 25, if not 26 other folks out there that are wondering the same thing. They just don't want to pick up the phone. So we're here to do a public service, as we have done now for over 25 years, and we're glad to be here with another year of 2020, a new decade. Here with the WDBO, the blowtorch here in Central Florida.
Yeah, all right. The number to dial up, 844-220-0965. That is 844-220-0965. We also have the text machine up and running as well, 21232. That is 21232. That's, keep it to about 160 characters. That's all we can see on the screen. So if it's a little bit longer, you find yourself writing a short novel, that's what the phone line's for. Again, 844-220-0965. In case you're just getting back in the swing of things, I know getting back into town, or company's leaving and you're starting to get back on your errands on the weekends, get ready for Monday when you go back to work and the kids go back to school on Tuesday. There's a little bit of information there that was happened during the holiday that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. Chris Toadvine just mentioned a little bit. The Secure Act. Chris, just before we get into today's conversation, because I know new people are listening to the radio every day as we get back into our routine, what happened over the weekend with the Secure Act? What is it, and what is it going to be?
Yeah, good question, Kyle. You know, it's a big change. It's really the first major piece of retirement legislation we've seen in a decade, and it passed both the House and the Senate, and President Trump signed it into law there in the midnight hour just before the holidays. You know, it went into effect January 1st of this year, so it is live, and it is affecting certainly what Joe and I and the other certified financial planners at CFG do every day, changing some of the conversations that we need to have with clients now as a result of that. And, you know, it did several big things, but the highlights are, one, it ended what was known as the stretch IRA.
Boo.
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 But what that means is if someone has an IRA and they pass away, they were able to leave that to a non-spouse beneficiary, say children, grandchildren, and that beneficiary could then stretch out taking proceeds from that IRA and the taxes over their remaining lifetime. Well, that's gone. Now the new law is that the beneficiary, non-spouse beneficiary, has to take those proceeds by the end of the 10th year. And so that's a pretty big change. That has some implications also around folks who have had trusts done in the last 10, 15 years that incorporate that stretch provision. And so a lot of our listeners are probably going to need to revisit their estate planning, look at those trusts, and be sure that their trust doesn't undesirably create some problems for them.
Yeah. So what happens if my trust says that I'm supposed to pay out the RMDs and the law has changed? What can happen here?
Well, that's a good question, Joe. And so what we're reading and learning here in the last couple of days is that if someone has a trust written for the old law and they pass away, let's say today, then quite possibly their beneficiary would not receive anything from the trust for 10 years, and then at the end of the 10th year, the beneficiary would receive the full IRA.
Fully taxable.
Fully taxable.
Ouch.
So a tax bomb in year 10. Yes.
Ouch.
So that wouldn't be good, and it would deny the beneficiaries the access to the funds for those 10 years, potentially.
Right. Now, once again, this applies to non-spouse beneficiaries
that
for the most
correct.
Part. So,
yeah, good point.
So your point is very well taken. If you have had a trust written in recent years regarding the beneficiary of your IRA, you want to circle back to your attorney here in the next week, two or month or so, and get that straightened out to accommodate your wishes, because you may be setting up a tax time bomb for your beneficiaries.
That's absolutely correct. So that's a big one, Kyle, is the end of the stretch IRA. It also, one item that's made a lot of news is the increase in the age that folks have to begin required minimum distributions.
Oh, I like that.
That's huge.
Yep.
Yes,
like
it is huge, and it was 70 and a half. So where the half came from, you know, we'll never know, but now it's 72. So those folks who are nearing those ages have a little bit more time to delay.
Well, when does that go into effect? So if I'm 70 and a half in February, and I was planning on taking an RMD, or if I turned 70 and a half in November of 2019, where if I'm on that line there, when would that take effect?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, Kyle, maybe more than a million-dollar question. But the answer is this. If you turn 70 and a half in 2019, you are under the old law, under the old rules. So you would need to take needed to have taken an RMD in 2019 or by April 1st of 2020, and then you would need to take a second required distribution during 2020 for calendar year 2020. Those folks who turn 70 and a half in 2020 are under the new law. So going forward, it will be age 72 for them.
That's good news. I wish they'd stretched it out even more.
Well,
I wish they'd have kept changed the provision where 5% or more stockholders don't have to withdraw from their 401k if they're still employed, but at least they've done a little bit of something. But it's going to change financial planning and estate planning for a lot of folks.
Well, it is, Joe.
And it's really going to impact the kids and or the grandkids, because that the ability to not have to cash out that IRA over a 10-year period was a tremendous, tremendous benefit to allow that money to compound and grow on a tax-deferred basis and to really provide long-term financial security. But once again, they hit it, and as we say, anytime Congress is in session, your money's in jeopardy. And that's why we are so fearful of people that loaded up on the Roths and cashed out their IRAs, paid all the taxes in anticipation of getting tax-free benefits. I'm afraid, once again, that those may fade away sometime in the future. But who knows? Let's hope that doesn't happen. But here we are. Anyway, I see we have a caller here.
I was going to say, if you have any questions about the SECURE Act or anything, how it affects you, 844-220-0965. Again, 844-220-0965. We'll kick off the callers today with Rich in Flagler Beach. Rich, good morning. You're on the Certified Financial Group.
Good morning, Rich.
Good morning. I have a quick question, hopefully, about Social Security. I worked 19 years under Social Security. My other years were with a government agency that did not pay into Social Security. My question is, once I turn 70, which will be this year, can I still accumulate, I guess, credits or whatever to boost my Social Security? And if so, is it still considered quarters, or is there a dollar threshold that has to be passed?
So what you're saying, are you eligible for delayed credits after age 70?
Right. I'm collecting Social Security right now.
Right.
But I'm wondering, I've seen that I can boost that, supposedly, but it, once you turn 70, does that happen? And if so, what is the threshold?
Right. Let me ask this question. I hear you. How old are you?
69. I'll be 70 this year.
Okay. And you're collecting Social Security. Are you still working?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, your ability to get delayed credits is gone. I mean, because you're drawing Social Security.
Well, but
I understand that. I'm wondering,
can you increase your benefit by continuing to work?
Once I retire and if I get a part-time job that's covered by Social Security, will that count towards increasing my Social Security benefit?
Well, Rich, I think that, what happens with Social Security is a very complex calculation, but they take essentially your highest 30 years. And so they index your early years, and so those credits that you would be getting now or your earnings now would be part of the calculation, right, going forward. And so I think it would depend on whether or not those earnings that you're getting from a part-time job were enough to bump off a lower year when Social Security calculates your 30 highest. Does that make sense?
All right, well, yeah, say I earn $5,000, but I've had years because I only worked 19 under Social Security, would that then bump off one of the 0 years?
Yeah, I believe it would, and I think it's actually 35 years. I think I misspoke and said 30. I think it's 35 years.
Okay.
But, so I think you would have another year of earnings, and the minimum to get, you know, a quarter of credit is, I think, $5,000 to $6,000 per year. So that is what qualifies you for one quarter of credit. But my belief, Rich, is that by working part-time, you can enhance your Social Security benefit, particularly in light of the fact that you have 16 years of zeros in there from not
reaching it. Rich, here's what I would do. Go to the Social Security website. Go to ssa.gov/estimator. They know who you are. They know what your earnings records are. And then you can put in future earnings and see what happens. I think that might give you the exact answer that you want. But you got to go to the exact right. ssa.gov/estimator.
Right. And it will pull in your earnings history, Rich. So I think that's actually a really good idea. And you can play around with it just to say, hey, if I earn $10,000 for my part-time work, what does it do? If I earn $15,000, what does it do?
Sure. Great idea. Thank you very much.
All right, Rich. Thank
you. Welcome.
Happy New Year to you. Thanks for
the call.
Take
care, Rich.
Same to you.
Yep. If you want Rich's line, it's 844-220-0965. That is 844-220-0965. We also have the text machine open at 21232. That is 21232. We are planning tomorrow.
Today.
Certified Financial Group. And right now with Paws, get three big things you need to know. Hey, welcome back. This is On the Money with a Certified Financial Group right here on News 96.5 WDBO's Ask the Experts Weekend. We're taking your phone calls with Joe Burke, Chris Toadvine, Certified Financial Planner Professional at the Certified Financial Group here on this first Saturday of 2020. Almost at 2020. Yeah, 2020. 1-4-2020. Live taking your phone calls this morning. 844-220-0965 is the number to dial us up. Again, 844-220-0965. We are about 3 minutes away from the latest news, weather, and traffic. Let's get back to our busy phone lines. Talk to James in the land. James, you're on the Certified Financial Group.
Morning, James.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I had a quick question about the SECURE Act that you were talking about earlier.
Yes.
Right.
My wife, she, both of her parents passed away. One was 18 years ago, one was 20 years ago. And, both of them had IRAs that were, passed on down to the children. And, so my question to you is, she's been having to receive a mandatory distribution each year from those IRAs. So with that new SECURE Act, I mean, is there going to be a period of time that she's then going to have to cash it out, even though it was from 18 and 20 years ago?
Hey, James, that's a great question, and, we should make you call her today, because your wife is, I'll say, the poster child for why that stretch provision was so beneficial, and it sounds like you all have taken advantage of that for probably 18 years now and allowed the funds in the IRA to continue to grow tax-deferred while she took out the small amount, relatively speaking, that she was required to. So the answer to your question is no, it is not going to affect her going forward. It is only for folks who pass away now that the new law is enacted as of January 1 of this year. So she is essentially grandfathered in under the old rules, and you and she can continue to take distributions over her remaining life expectancy like you have for the past 18 years. Is that helpful?
Okay. Yeah, I was kind of worried about when you guys were talking about it, because you didn't mention any stipulations in the law, whether people were grandfathered in, so I was kind of worried. I was like, man, are we going to get put into that category and have to, cash our money out within 10 years. That's something that we really don't want to do. So.
Yeah. Well, no, it's a great question. Again, thanks for raising it, James. So just to be clear for everyone else out there, if you were taking distributions under an inherited IRA prior to January 1st of 2020, the old law applies. So it does not affect you. You're grandfathered in. This is only for folks who pass away after January 1st of this year, so going forward, it would apply to those new beneficiaries.
As you said, Chris, his wife is really the poster child, because they've enjoyed 18, 20 years of not having to cash the money out, just taking out the required distributions, but letting the corpus grow, compound over all those years. It's a huge benefit. And really the sad thing about it is, we've sat in on presentations with what it could mean to grandchildren, or what it could have meant to grandchildren, literally millions of dollars that unfortunately will no longer be available. So this is where financial planning, estate planning comes in. This is what we do with the Certified Financial Group day in and day out for our clients for a fee. We encourage you to call us or go to our website. That's financialgroup.com, financialgroup.com. And we also have a workshop coming up, right, Chris?
We do. We have a few workshops coming up. Gary Abley has a workshop on the 18th. Of January here at the WDBO studios, and that workshop is Key Elements to a Successful Financial Plan. That's January 18th at 9 o'clock. You can get more information on our website. The next workshop will be February 8th, again at the WDBO studio. So if you've never been to WDBO, you're curious what the place looks like, come on down, check us out. You can go to the website financialgroup.com to get more information as well as to register.
All right, thanks so much for the call, James. You're at James's line. It's 844-220-0965. That is 844-220-0965. If you have any questions about what to start off with 2020 with or the SECURE Act, that's what we're doing here on the radio for another two more segments. Get 844-220-0965. Text is 21232. Time for the latest news, weather, and traffic with Dave Wall. Welcome back. This is On the Money with a Certified Financial Group right here on News 96.5 WDBO. It's all part of our Ask the Experts weekend. Taking your phone calls at 844-220-0965 with Joe Burton, Chris Toadvine, Certified Financial Planner Professionals at the Certified Financial Group. We also have the text machine up and running as well. 21232. That is 21232. Joe, just in case anybody joined us, or the latest news, weather, and traffic, what can they call you about this morning?
Well, Chris and I are here to take your calls on questions that might be on your mind regarding your personal finances. We're the only financial calling show in Central Florida that's hosted exclusively by Certified Financial Planner Professionals, where we take your calls live. This is not a one-hour recorded infomercial that we're afraid you may call us and we may not know the answer, and that happens in some cases, but we will always try to find the answer for you. But what we do is certify financial planner professionals for a fee on Monday through Friday. We answer our clients' questions, and we work with them getting them to and through retirement. We do investment management and financial planning for a fee, as I said. And if you want any more information about our firm and our services, we're headquartered in Altamont Springs. We've been had the same phone number for over 40 years now. We've been privileged to be a part of the WDBO family now for closing in on 30 years. And we enjoy our relationship here. We're looking forward to a great 2020 and another decade. And as a reminder, we failed to do this at the top of the hour. One of our colleagues, certified financial planner, as well as CPA, Rodney Ownby, is in the office. And I apologize to Rodney that we didn't get to him before the bottom of the hour here. But he is in the office to take any questions that you might have that are maybe a little more detailed in nature, or maybe you want a little bit more privacy. And Rodney is more than qualified to work with you and answer your questions. Once again, no cost. So if you have any questions regarding the Secure Act or anything else that we talked about this morning that might be on your mind, you can reach him right now at our office, 407-869-9800, 407-869-9800, or 1-800-EXECUTIVES if you're executing a financial plan. And if he's on the phone, the line is busy, he promises to call you back. Just leave a message with your name and number, and I'm sure he'll be here to help you. But in the meantime, Chris and I are here live, and we want to take your questions about anything that might be on your mind once again. As I say many times over the course of years with financial planning and investments, they don't teach us this stuff in school. We try to figure out as we go. And we wake up at 50, 55 years old and find out we're not too far away from the day when those paychecks stop, and we have to figure out how to turn those things that we've collected and accumulated over the years into a steady stream of income. And that's what we do, once again, as certified financial planner professionals. But here on Saturday morning, we're here to take your questions and answer your questions. So I encourage you to call and pick up the phone and dial these magic numbers.
844-220-0965. That's 844-220-0965. Text machine is 212-32. That is 212-32. Got a text question in here, Chris Toadvine. If the market was up so much last year, why do they only earn 3%?
Well, that's a great question, Kyle, and you know, without a little more context from the folks who sent the question, it's tough to know exactly what's going on with their situation. But what I would say is I actually met with some folks this week that were in a similar situation, and they were in some products that were quote-unquote secure and that wouldn't lose money or wouldn't lose much money if the market went down. And so, you know, the I think Mark Twain said the what was his quote about the my death is overestimated. I think a lot of folks thought that last year would not be as good a year in the markets as it was, and as it turns out, it was a very good year. So it sounds like the text question, the individual probably was invested in an indexed annuity or some kind of a structured product that capped their earnings, and when the market's up 20 to 30%, and you're only earning 3%, that is long-term detrimental to someone's financial plan. And so I think, you know, that's all the more reason why I have found many investors don't understand the products that they're in. And it is wise to sit down with an unbiased fiduciary planner who can look at their situation and objectively give feedback and advice on how they're invested. Because, you know, the year that we had in 2019 from a return standpoint may not be repeatable anytime soon, but we don't know. It may be. And so I think that's why it's so important to have a consistent strategy, be diversified in low-cost mutual funds, and stay invested without trying to predict the demise of the market, because no one really knows.
So right, what do you tell a client when they say, oh, the market was up, they say 28%, and that was only up 18%?
Well, that's right. And so I think that's a great question, and one that we do get sometimes. And the answer is, hey, if you're 100% in the market, you'll get 100% of the market's returns.
Both good and bad.
Both good and bad. That's right. And so what we don't want to do is to get overly excited during good times, nor overly pessimistic during bad times. And so I think that, you know, whenever you have ballast, what I call ballast in your portfolio to smooth out the ride, you're not going to experience the full impact of the market or on the upside or on the downside.
Right.
But for most people, and this is, again, back to planning, Joe, why we do planning, because we part of our planning process is to look at what rate of return do you as an individual need to achieve your goals. And if you need a 5 or a 6% rate of return, then should you be investing to try to get a 10% rate of return? Right. That's ultimately, that's a choice, but it's good to have the information so that your investment strategy can tie in with your larger financial plan.
Right. A lot of people have what I call FOMO. You know what that is? F-O-M-O?
What's that?
Fear of missing out.
That's right.
Yeah, fear of missing out. And so what they're seeing is the market doing what... In fact, we had a wonderful client in yesterday who's adjusted his portfolio because I think he has FOMO.
Mm.
The good news is we allowed him to do it because he doesn't need the money. Mm. This money is really for his grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in what we would call a moderately aggressive portfolio up to this point.
Right.
He said, no, I want to go aggressive.
Oof.
And we adjusted his paperwork and we told him the downside of it. But he accepted that because first of all, in his planning, he doesn't need the money. And he's looking at this money for future generations. And once again, if you have time, time is a great healer and you can be far more aggressive than if you need the money today. But a lot of people suffer when I call FOMO, fear of missing out, and they make emotional decisions and they want to goose it up when the markets are good only to be disappointed when it reverses on you.
That's
our job as certified financial planners is to get you to and through retirement. You could be as wrong on both ends. You could be more aggressive, take more risk than is necessary to get to where you want to go and burn out. Or you can be too conservative and realize you're never going to get there, but you don't realize you're not going to get there until it's too late.
That's right.
And that's, as you said, why financial planning is so critical. It's what we do with the Certified Financial Group. It's how we've built our firm for nearly 40 years. We do it for a fee. All of our work is done by Certified Financial Planner professionals. We're glad to show you our credentials and to show you what we do and how we do it. So check us out on our website. That's financialgroup.com, financialgroup.com.
All right, let's get to our busy phone lines here. Talk to Dave in Orlando. Dave, you're on with the Certified Financial Group.
Dave.
Good morning, Dave.
What's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I've got questions about Social Security, but what you were just talking about, I'm in a real conservative in my IRA, and it does get a little upsetting when it's not going up real fast, but when I look at it and it doesn't take a dive when it drops 500 to 600 points, kind of a nice feeling, so I like that.
Well, let's Dave, hang on. We've been doing this long enough. So let me guess your age. You're probably somewhere near 40.
Nope. I'm glad you think so. I'm going to be 66.
My gosh.
Wow.
That must be the airplane flu that I have affecting my ears.
Yes,
okay.
A little foggy, but that's...
Well, the key is to know the rate of return that you need to get on your money, Dave. And maybe you're being more conservative than you need to be. I understand the psychological part to it, that you don't like to see it go down. But by the same token, what you don't want to do is run out of money when you're 87 years old because you weren't as aggressive as you needed to be. So that's a discussion for another day. But you have a question on Social Security.
Yeah, so I'm planning on waiting until I'm 70. Going to be 66, so I could take my retirement now, but I'm going to wait until I'm 70. I still have a part-time job. My wife never worked. And my question, I think I understand my Social Security, but what does she, and she's born in 1957, when can she start taking my Social Security?
I think she can do that now, if my math is correct. You would have to file and suspend, and then she would then file on your account. I believe that's how it works, Dave. Aaron in our office is a Social Security expert. If he's listening, I'm sure he will chime in and we'll get a text. What do you think, Chris?
Well, Dave, so your wife was born, what do you say, 1957?
Mm-hmm.
So 43.
Yeah.
So she's 62?
1954 is the magic date for that.
Ability. Right. I was born in 54.
Yeah.
Right. So her benefit, because she never worked, she would be drawing a spousal benefit, right? So she would be taking a benefit off of your record. And the only question in my mind is, does Dave have to start prior to his wife being able to collect? I kind of think that is the case. I'm not 100%.
I thought so, too. That's what I thought. And since I'm not planning on taking it till 70. But you said something interesting. Can I start and then, my buddy started taking Social Security, and then he realized he got a little part-time job, and it was too messy, so he stopped taking Social Security.
Right. Well, you would do what we call file and suspend, and this way that opens the door then for your wife to be able to claim half of your benefit. The question is the timing at her age, and I'd have to look that up, Dave. If you want to call our office on Monday, I'll give you the specific answer once we get your birth date and your wife's birth date down and get some more particulars. I encourage you to do that. Give us a call at 407-869-9800. That's 407-869-9800. But I think there's some opportunity there for you. But for our listeners that don't understand or appreciate the benefit of waiting till age 70, you've calculated that you can increase your benefit by 8% per year plus cost of living. And the nice thing about that is it's a longevity insurance for your wife, because statistically us guys pass away before the women. So upon your demise, your wife will inherit your full benefit.
Right.
Yeah. So that's a good thing.
That is a good thing. Dave, yeah, reach out to us at the office, Dave, and we will, we'll do an analysis for you and give you an accurate answer.
All right, Dave, thanks so much for the phone call. If you want Dave's line, it's 844-220-0965. David and Apopka, Michael in Lake Worth down there listening to us in South Florida. Hang on the line. You're going to be first up right after we get the three big things you need to know.
Station. This is News 96.5 WDBO.
Welcome back. It is the final segment of On the Money with a Certified Financial Group right here on News 96.5 WDBO. We're here with Joe Burton, Chris Toadvine, Certified Financial Planner Professionals at the Certified Financial Group. Before we get back to your phone lines here, Joe, I believe you wanted to clear something up real quick.
I did. The lovely Denise Kovach, one of our Certified Financial Planner colleagues, texted me to clear up the confusion that we had regarding the previous caller on his wife's ability to draw on his Social Security while he still worked. And the answer was, according to Denise, and I'm sure she is correct, is that he cannot do what I suggested, do the file and suspend. In order for him to do that, he has to have been born before January 1st of 1954. In order for her to get a benefit, he has to be taking his benefits. So maybe what you want to do is crunch the numbers and see if that makes sense. Maybe the 8% deferred credits maybe doesn't make sense in this case. He'll get his benefits and she would get half of his and really start the ball rolling.
Yeah, well, they would get more by virtue of both of them drawing on their benefits.
Yeah,
and
right.
The real question would be long-term, could they make it if something were to happen to him?
Right.
So. Gotcha.
So I want to thank Denise, as always, one of our colleagues. Denise is very, she has
Thanks,
this
Denise.
Extra special degree that she has in Social Security.
Social Security.
And one of the beauties about Certified Financial Group, as I said, we have a dozen Certified Financial Planners under one roof, and we collaborate. You can't keep all this stuff in your mind, and we work together and work with our clients to always get you the right answer. So once again, Denise, appreciate your checking in, and we'll see you Monday morning. In the meantime, we have another caller here, right, Kyle?
David and Apopka.
David, what's up?
Good morning, David.
Quick question. Inheriting money from my dad's IRA, but the attorney who set it up in trust for me said that there's no tax. But I had always thought that if you inherited an IRA, it would have to go into your IRA, because if you took it out and wanted to use it, you would be taking some tax hit. So what can you tell me?
So David, just to be clear, the question is there a tax on an inherited IRA? That's what I'm hearing. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So
yes.
And what I would say is if it were a Roth IRA, that would be true. Otherwise, if it is a traditional IRA or a 401k that has never been taxed, you have to pay the tax. And so sometimes, you know, this happens in that we're professionals, say estate planning attorneys, and their clients are speaking a different language. And this may be the case. So when he said there's no tax, he may have meant no estate tax, but there is an income tax unless it's a Roth IRA.
So David,
okay, so I'm screwed.
Well, hang on here. Has the IRA's already been set up?
My dad died first. Then my mom just died.
All right, now let's understand here. So when your dad died, your mother inherited the IRA.
Correct.
Okay. So now your mom's gone, and you're the beneficiary of your mother's IRA.
Well, my sister, who's the administrator, told me, well, you're getting the money out of Dad's IRA. And I said, well, now, wait a minute. Can I get access to it? And if I do take the money, then do I get hit with penalties and taxes out the wazoo? That is the issue. Or do I have to set up my own IRA and then transfer it from one IRA to mine?
Well, look, you brought up several things here, David. I think you also mentioned trust early on in the call. And so
correct.
I think the answer is it's going to depend on how your father set up his estate or your mother set up her estate, and we'll say sorry for your loss. But I think that, you know, look, the blessing is that you're inheriting some money, if you have to pay tax, you know, it's been deferred for lots of years, presumably, and so it's not the end of the world, although you want to be wise in how you do that. And I think that you may want to get with a certified financial planner who can look at the situation and give you some counsel as far as, you know, what is the best way to do it, or do you even have any latitude? Does the trust dictate
exactly
that it all has to be distributed to you? And if that's the case, then, you know, there may not be a lot you can do. But I think for your benefit, you would want to understand what's going on.
David, hang on for just a minute, though. You mentioned a couple of things. First of all, this trust.
Yes.
I don't know if you were listening at the top of the hour, but Chris mentioned the fact that if your trust is a beneficiary of the IRA with provisions to pay out what's called the required minimum distributions, you're going to want to have the trust reviewed because the law has changed relative to what goes on with that. And you that whole thing may be a ticking time bomb. Secondly, you mentioned in a couple of occasions of commingling the IRAs, the inherited IRA, and then moving it to your IRA. You can't and do not want to do that. You have to maintain what's called a beneficiary IRA. So I would encourage you to call our office, David. You're right around the corner from us there in Apopka. We're in Altamont Springs. You can reach us on Monday at 407-869-9800. We'd be glad to talk with you. We'll give you a complimentary consultation. And if we can help you, there's no charge for the kind of questions that you're asking. But we could tell you what we do as certified financial planner professionals. And we'd be glad to work with you.
All right.
Did I lose my microphone? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, I can hear you fine. You all right?
I must be losing my hearing.
That could be too. A little ear pressure. No.
All right, thanks for the call, David.
Yes, David. Let's get to Michael real quick
before
we get out of here. Michael.
Hey, Michael.
Good morning, guys.
How you doing?
A quick question. I work for a large supermarket here in South Florida, and our 401k is 10% of our income, but they're raising it. They're allowing us to contribute 30% now. Should I max that out to what the government allows, or should I contribute it to a Roth IRA and max that out?
So you're asking two questions, Michael, and it's a good question. So the first question, let's start there, is should you maximize your deferrals to your 401k? Because the large supermarket that you're working for has apparently increased the percentage of your salary that you're able to defer into the 401k. So, I mean,
Yep, it allows me to reach that government cap, the $19,500.
Okay, and so, so you're under 50, so 19.5 is the cap. So, look, if you can afford to do it, I think the short answer is yes, you should do that. The second question is related to Roth versus traditional. Joe, do you have some thoughts on that?
Well, it depends on your tax situation. I'm a big believer of a bird in the hand, which is the tax deduction, tax benefit that you get today by putting the money into a 401k or a traditional IRA. Because when you put it in the Roth, you don't get a tax deduction. You have to pay money on the taxes, and you put in what's left. So your own tax situation would dictate that, Michael. But I definitely lean toward maxing out your 401k. And then the second question is how is that 401k invested for you? How old are you, Michael?
54.
54. Do you know your allocation, how your money spread around? Did you pick what's called?
Well, what they're actually doing, they're limiting, since they're raising to 30%, they're limiting how much company stock we could put it into.
Got it. Okay.
To 25%. But okay. I do the S&P, T. Rowe Price. I got the report. I did a 15.86 return last year on my money, on my 401k.
All right, Malcolm, give us a call on Monday.
And one more thing. You can do more than 19.5. You can actually do 26,000 by virtue of your age.